Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
You're very welcome to Wednesday afternoon's Late Lunch on LMFM Radio. Lots of chat, guests, music. I have the Navan Racing Competition as well to come over the next couple of hours. If you want to talk to us, don't forget the usual numbers. 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. My first guest today is a good friend of ours on Late Lunch. He's joined us over the years. He's the former editor-in-chief with the Irish Mirror, now columnist. And a recent article of his in the paper really stirred the pot because he's mad as hell about the state of his hometown, Drogheda. John Kearns, welcome back to the show.
How you doing, Jerry? Good afternoon.
Thank you for joining me. I could feel the rage hopping off the pages as I read the... I could see the sparks coming out of the keyboard. John, look, this has been talked about ad infinitum, but you crystallised it recently in your column. How has it come to this?
Well, that's I think we all have to ask ourselves that question. You know, I don't think it's something that's happened just in the last year or two. I think it's been a steady decline over the last, you know, 10 or 20 years, really. And I think it's sort of speeded up since we lost our own borough council and Drogheda Corporation. But to be honest, I was never one for ever knocking Drogheda. And for me to write that now took a lot. And I kind of put a lot of... I thought about it long and hard before I did it. Because even, you know, during my times as editor of a national newspaper, I would always push the town or plug the town. And anyone come on to me from Drogheda or I wanted something publicised, I always did my best to put Drogheda first. But I just felt that things have got so bad. I mean, what's happening at the moment in terms of Drogheda is an absolute disgrace. And it's a national scandal. It's not just a local scandal. It is a national scandal. And as I said in the piece, my hometown, which I love so dear, you know, and I grew up, you know, I was born in the Cottage Hospital, grew up in Mary Street, you know. It's just gone to the dogs, you know. It really is. And I find it very, very sad. I find it frightening. And over the last 4 years, since I left the job as editor of the paper, I've done a lot of travelling abroad. My kids live abroad and I've been in various cities and places, you know. And I see how other towns and cities, not only in Ireland, but around the world, do their business. And then I look and see Drogheda. And Drogheda and the people of Drogheda, in a nutshell, have been absolutely screwed to the wall.
You mentioned the abolition of the borough council. What else?
Well, I think what we've seen is phenomenal growth here, you know, in terms of the population. When we were growing up, you and I, and we were at school in the Joes, the population in Drogheda was probably around 18,000 in the old borough, as we call it. It's now gone from, you know, in the old borough, the population is 42,000, but the real population in Drogheda is around 60,000 because you have 20,000 people living in estates that are in Drogheda, but are technically in County Meath and in Meath County Council territory. So we've got a town with a population of over 60,000. Every one of those citizens are paying local property taxes, and many people are paying quite a lot of money, especially on the south side of Drogheda, where the houses are far more expensive because of its close proximity to Dublin. So, you know, I have to ask the question, you know, with all the people paying all those local property taxes, and then all the business people in the town, no matter what side, both on the Louth and the Meath side, and where's all those money, all that money going? And I can tell you one thing, from what I can see with my eye, very little of it, I think, or I feel, is being spent in Drogheda. I mean, the town is filthy at times, and I'm not just talking about the town centre. The town centre, the guys go out in the mornings, and I've nothing against them, the men, we just don't have enough of them, and they clean the streets with the machines, and they're decent people, and They empty the bins downtown. But you go around the rest of all the other estates, all around Drogheda, the bins aren't empty. They're full. Roads are full of potholes all over the place. The grass hadn't been cut. Now they've started the grass cutting. Some of it isn't being done properly. But if you look at it, basically the place, and I drove around actually for a 45 minutes around the old Dooley Gate where I grew up, you know, and the place, you know, the whole, you know, many parts of Drogheda at the moment look like a kip. And then the amount of road works that's going on all over the place, the Termit Fecken Road, you have every Tom, Dick and Harry coming in and digging up the road, or if it's not the Water Council, it's the electricity company or it's the gas company. And you know, one, nobody knows, there seems to be no organisation to anything. You know, the amount of people who've had bus tires on the Termit Fecken Road, cars damaged, wheels, there just seems to be, it just seems to be like, it's become a madhouse in every sense of the word. And then you look at the criminal aspect of it, the antisocial behaviour. You know, I used to call Tuesday, I'd be downtown most days, and I used to call it Junkie Tuesday. People said to me, and so you can't use that word. Well, I'll use whatever word I want. You know, on Tuesdays, the place was full of drug addicts and full of drunks, and not a guard to be seen a lot of the time. Funny enough, that all changed last week. I wrote me column. People were thinking it's down to me, but the guard, I think, had been well organised. There was nothing to do with me. And they had their mobile unit on West Street, and there was guards there present. And when you had the guard of visibility, and guess what? The guys, the drunks and people who were misbehaving, they all vanished. Or if they were there, they behaved themselves. And the old people didn't feel afraid, because if you talk to any elderly person going down the town, they feel scared some of the times. And there isn't a guard to be seen. And I don't know why. I mean, what are all the guards in Drogheda doing?
The other thing you mentioned, picking through what you wrote about, is political representation at the cabinet table.
Yeah. Well, the big thing is that we haven't had a full cabinet minister here in this town since Paddy Dunnigan, I'd say, and Pádraig Faulkner. And Pádraig Faulkner was from Dunleer, but he was the Drogheda cabinet minister. But, you know, since Paddy Faulkner and Dunnigan, we haven't had a full minister at the cabinet table. Dundalk had Dermot Ahern, and he did a great job for that. And good luck to him. And by the way, this isn't an anti-Dundalk thing. I think good luck to Dundalk and everything they get, and good luck to Navan and to Monaghan and Cavantown. I'm only concerned about what goes on here and where our taxpayers' money is being spent. Right, but we haven't had anybody at the cabinet table. Jed Nash was a junior minister in government. He didn't have the clout, and I don't blame him. And I'm not going to have it attack any politician. I think most people go into politics to try and do their best, and I would say that from people from all parties. But there is nobody there with the clout at a senior level politically, at the top table in Dublin, representing the interests in Drogheda. And I mean, you know, from any party, there's nobody who's in there in cabinet. We don't have anyone. The nearest we have is Helen McEntee as a minister, and she's from Navan.
And Thomas Bourne.
But Thomas Bourne is not in cabinet. He's a junior, but they're both in Meath. Okay, and they both really, you know, Thomas Bourne, I suppose, would have half the foot in Drogheda and the other half in Meath, but it's not his constituency, and neither is East. Eastmeath is his constituency, but he's not a fully fledged minister in the cabinet. Now, if Tom was a full fledged minister sitting at the cabinet table, well, maybe the story in relation to Drogheda might be different, because I know he does care about Drogheda and he is passionate about it. But you need somebody with real political clout, and we haven't had that, and we haven't. And you know, we elect decent people to the Dáil. You know the tide is in for one party one term, it goes out the next term, it's in with another party. We've had various different people, and they certainly, you know, go to Leinster House with the best of intentions. But it's very difficult. I mean, if you don't have that political clout, because there's certainly an attitude among the ministers and among the top civil servants that they don't give a damn about Drogheda. And we only have to see it. Jed Nash, in fairness, had a parliamentary question in there that just came out yesterday. And the Minister for Local Government, Dara O'Brien from Malahide up the road, again ruled out any chance in hell of Drogheda becoming a city. And the reason he gave it, which I had kind of made reference to in my own column, was that not a Meath County Council or Low County Council wanted it. And the civil servants don't want it, because it would mean that they would lose thousands of people, that their area would become smaller, their income would become smaller, and that's why they don't want it. So Low County Council is quite happy controlling one half of Drogheda. Meath County Council is quite happy controlling the other half. We, the citizens and the town, fall in between, and neither of them in Navadon and Dock, and I stand to be corrected, but neither of them give a damn from what I see with my own eyes walking the streets of this town day in, day out.
So what's the answer? What's the answer? Are you calling, like Drogheda City State have been campaigning for years for an authority to administer the entire Drogheda area, the greater Drogheda area, regardless of county boundaries? Yeah.
Well, let's, first and foremost, the first thing I'd like to see is that Louth County Council and Meath County Council come together and form a plan for Drogheda. That would be the first plan, that there's a joint thinking plan and that they do their job and spend the money that's raised in this area, in the town. That would be my number one thing. Followed by that, I'd be fully in support of the city status, right? But I think I'd love to see it happening, but I think it's a pipe dream because the politicians in Dublin, and I've dealt with them all my life, they look upon Drogheda as too near to Dublin. So they'd be very, very reluctant to give us city status, right? And I'm not being negative. I hope to God it happened, but I doubt if it would happen in my time. Unless we have somebody who's got serious power and serious commitment at the cabinet table, I can't, because the full-time government, as I call them, the civil service, are totally against any of this. So I'd like to see Louth and Meath County Councils live up to their responsibilities and put in a joint plan for this town and to have the proper investment. I mean, the dereliction, and that was all raised by Don Gradwell, wonderful man, and he's campaigned on that for the last 2 years, but this was going on 15 years ago. Brady's and Narrow West Street there, the old shop, has fallen down 20 years. I'm terrified someday I'll be walking down Scholes' name and that whole building would come down on top of me. The whole of Narrow West Street has fallen down. It's been falling down for 10 or 20 years and the county council has done nothing. All the officials.
Now,
nothing.
They have a plan.
They have a plan, yeah, but how long does it take to get a plan? What we need now is action. We're sick and tired hearing about plans. Right, it's action we need, and we need to see something being done because it's just so frustrating. Like, and then they're on about trying to find out who owns this property. I mean, if they rang me, I would have told them who owned most of the properties in Narrow West Street. There's one particular family who've had it; their parents had it, and the building was falling down. I'm not going to go into that here, But all these things could have been tidied up and sorted out years ago. Years ago,
I came across. I walk every Tuesday across town. I think I mentioned this in the show before, when I leave one of my granddaughters dancing, and I, as the light has come and the summertime has come in, you can really see it more. But last night I took a picture actually of a notice on the old Carlton cafe in Narrow West Street from Louth County Council saying to the owner, they value the building at 200,000, you're going to be fined 7% of the 200,000 if you don't take care of the space. So that's 14,000 they're going to be fined.
Yeah.
Will that make a difference?
No, peanuts. In my opinion, they need to look at that legislation. And I mean, there should be just compulsory purchase orders if they don't sort it out. The state needs to take control of these buildings and do something about them. And then also, we don't have access to, there's a government scheme, city living scheme, whereby people get tax-free breaks to do up all the rooms over buildings and apartments, right? And we've been excluded from that yet again. And that was raised politically. Michael McGrath turned us down. So Drogheda, Kilkenny, which is about the third of the size of Drogheda population-wise, gets everything that's going. And good luck to them in Kilkenny. Waterford now has got its act together and is getting huge state investment. Limerick is getting huge state investment. Galway is getting huge state investment. And we're sitting there, and we're getting the crumbs from the table. Brian?
I want to read some comments. 086 1800 658 if you want to get in touch with us. Brian has been on to say, I'm listening to John with interest. Is Manchester too near to Liverpool? And they're both cities, says Brian today.
Absolutely fair point.
That's a real good point there, made. You know what I mean?
100% right.
Another one there. While Gardaí and the van is parked at St. Peter's last week, they looked at cars and vans parked illegally in front of them, preventing buses pulling in and out of a designated bus stop, says another listener, and the guards did nothing about it. Another issue on the town itself.
I don't want to go blaming the guards.
No.
I want a Garda presence to be seen visibly in downtown Drogheda. And I don't mean in sitting in patrol cars. We want to see them on the street because a lot of people feel nervous about some of the stuff. And it's all low-level stuff. It's top-level stuff. It's all minor incidents, antisocial behaviour. But if there's a guard of presence on the ground, it makes a massive difference.
Oh, my God, Jerry, will you please plead with that man to run for election? We need him, says a listener.
Not a chance.
You can come back on that in a moment. Anyway, I want to take a short break. John Kearns is with us on Late Lunch. He's talking about the dereliction of his hometown Drogheda. If you've anything to say, no matter where you are in the Northeast listening today, or if you're in town, we'd love to hear from you. 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. John Kearns is with me on Late Lunch, and he's having his say about the dereliction of Drogheda. I'll tell you one thing. You have a quota already. If you have the quota already, if you run, honestly,
I think I'm a great believer in leaving politics to the politicians and journalists doing their job. And I've always been a journalist, and it's my job to hold people, the powerful, to account and to tell it as it is. And what I did in my column, what I'm doing now, is telling it as it is about Drogheda. And if some people don't like it, well, tough, because, you know, what I've seen with my own eyes, it's very, very sad.
You doing this and writing about it and saying, and others as well, you've said to me, there's no voice at the cabinet table, right? No. You've accused the two local authorities of ignoring the town as well.
Yeah.
How, you know, are you a voice in the wilderness? Does this make any difference? Does anyone listen? Will anything happen?
Well, you see, I think with local politics and some of the local councils, and again, I've nothing but respect for people who put the head above the parapet and put the names forward for election, and I've no party affiliations with anybody, and I do respect politicians, and I think some people, when they get elected, you know, they're afraid to rock the boat, or they're afraid to be outspoken, because they're afraid then that the council officials won't do things that they need, like fix this pothole or put a new footpath there, or all this kind of mundane, low level, bottom line stuff, and they're afraid to really say at times what they think, and you know. I feel that at the moment a lot of our politicians need to be far more outspoken. They need to really, really say what they think. The local government system in this country is appalling, whereby the civil servants and the county manager, or the chief executive, as they call them, have all the power, and the politicians have very little, from what I can see. In other countries, like in Spain, the local politicians have all the power, and the civil servants are there to do what they're told. You know, we need a system whereby the civil servants do what they're told. Right, and that's a system that we need, but we don't have that at the moment. And I think there's a genuine, massive, genuine is a very bad word. There's just a huge amount of neglect of Drogheda going on, and nobody will say that, and nobody will come out and attack the people in power who are holding the poor strings and are controlling the two county councils. I'm talking about the officials here, and hold them to account, because, you know, I'm holding them to account here, right? And to me, they've been, when it comes to Drogheda, they have failed, and failed dismally. And Dara O'Brien, okay, he sanctioned the building of loads of thousands of new homes in Drogheda, but, you know, he's done nothing about the centre of the town. He's done nothing about the infrastructure that's needed to go along with that, right? Apart from the new road, which is wonderful, you know?
The cross route.
That's a fantastic job, and full credit to everybody involved in that. But it can't just stop there. It needs to be completed now. We need phase two done over the railway bridge, and we need a toured phase down to the docks. And then what we really need is a bridge, an open bridge on the east side of Drogheda, you know, to connect Bettystown and Eastmead up back in with a new bridge and in with the whole, so we've got a whole roundabout round Drogheda.
The orbital route,
right? And to connect both sides, north and south, together. And that's needed. We need millions and millions to be invested in this town. And don't tell me the money's not there, because it is there. Because it's been invested in huge and in many, many other urban areas around this country, while this town is being totally ignored.
You have to feel sorry for the people who've been working hard on the ground, and you know them, on trying to attract tourists to the town, build that up. Look what's happened to the Yoni Hotel, and you've written extensively about that as well. There's a lot of water under the bridge about that. You have the implementation board doing their best in the light of the violence that gripped the town as well. And there are people trying hard, but it's not enough, is it?
No, but everybody, I have nothing but utmost respect for everybody who's doing a bit, for all the business people who've put the money in their pockets and put money into bids and have made money available and helped finance all these various initiatives that are being carried out on all the various festivals, and I think they've done a fantastic job, and well done to all of them. But this is bigger than all of them now at the moment. It's a bigger issue. It is a complete and utter neglect of a town by a national government and by a cabinet and the ministers. And that's what's going on. So we're going to have the local elections, so people will be able to hold politicians to account and to ask them, you know, what their vision is, what their plan is. And then when we do have the election, you know, I want to know from anyone who's running, what is their vision for Drogheda and every political party. And when I see Micheál Martin, if it's him who leads them into the election, I'll have it out with him. I was talking to Simon Harris, one of his assistants this morning, and I had a discussion with it, right? With that particular person about Drogheda. And that's what we need to do. You know, we need to put this town in the picture nationally, in front of all these people who make the decisions that affect all our daily lives. But one other thing, it really gets me, this property tax, we pay all the money, and where is it going, and where is it being spent, and why in the name of God is it not being spent here?
Liam's been on. Hello, Liam, a good listener of ours from now. And he says, I'm listening to John there and he's making a fine case. I have to assure him that we have the same issues in Navan. You might not think so, but yep, we have the same issues. Liam says, I'm just paraphrasing. He sent me an extensive message in there. There's another one there. Don't expect any different from Meath County Council. Navan town has been a bomb site for the last 3 years. Gridlock in the town. Filthy, dirty, says another listener there. And it comes in as well. Jerry, looks like the government see the Northern Crossroad as just commuter fodder, says Brian to us there. But the Crossroad is important, you have to say that. And it is potentially a very good news story, you know that.
Yeah, it's a game changer.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There's loads coming into us here. Oh my God, all John has said is 100% correct. Thank you for bringing this to everyone's attention. We are all thinking the same, but we feel we're powerless. We feel we're powerless and being ignored. Thanks, John. I hope the people in power are listening and take action. You know what I mean? That's what people feel, you know, that they, you know.
Well, they're all going to come to here in here when there's a general election. You know, you're going to have Micheál Martin will be in town, Michael McGrath will be in town, Pascal O'Donoghue, the new young Taoiseach, Simon Harris will be in town, and they're all going to be in town, and that's our opportunity. And Mary Lou will be in town, you know, and she's odds on to be the next Taoiseach, right? And so they're all going to be in town, and you know, we all, when they knock on your door, ask them, what are we going to do, what are they going to do, and to get a commitment from them, because we need millions to be invested in this place. Now, talking about Navan, that was quite interesting, because I drove to Navan recently. When I drove through it, it wasn't gridlock, but I thought it was a lovely town. And I hadn't been in it in a long time, and I walked the streets and I really enjoyed it, and I had a cup of coffee and I met the great Paul Morphy over there for lunch when he was 80, another famous journalist from around these parts of the world, and I thought Navan was beautiful. So it just shows, but I respect, obviously, that man lives there and the similar issues.
Yes. Anne Colburn has on to me. She says a local politician recently wrote to the residents on the Dublin Road saying that the answer to congestion going into Drogheda Centre is cycle lanes plus new lighting and traffic light replacement. 350,000 lights on the Bullring already, Jerry. I suggest he grab a book and a comfortable chair.
Well, what planet is he on?
Yeah, sit down on the Dublin Road, count the cyclists. You won't need a notebook, barely half a dozen per day. Reduce car lanes and new cycle lanes. Dream on. Put the money towards that bridge and the port and the crossroads, and it'll work.
The one thing I will say that has improved significantly is the bus service in Drogheda. And I think, you know, somebody deserves credit for that.
Yeah.
Because that has really, really improved. And it's fantastic to see. But that's just one small step. But we need to get the, you know, we need to do something urgently about all this dereliction. Get the town centre into ship shape. You know, when was the last, the streets of the town last washed? Main streets washed? I think it was during the Fla. I mean, those footpaths should be washed every other day, right? If you're in Marbella, they have teams of cleaners working for the council cleaning the suburbs. The suburbs, never mind the centre of the town, the suburbs, because all the local money is being spent in the local area here. They're taking all our money and they're spending everywhere else bar Drogheda.
John Cairns, we could go on and the messages are pouring in as we speak. Thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome, Jerry.
Always appreciate your opinion. As you know by this stage, each day on Late Lunch this week, I have a lovely bundle to give away for Navan races this weekend. Saturday it's happening, and it's the start of the flat season in Navan, featuring the SBK Vintage Crop Stakes and six other feature races as well. It's going to be a fantastic day's racing. And if you get there early, champion jockey Colin Keane, racing post David Jennings, and at the races Kevin Blake are hosting a preview panel before the racing in the Boyne Suite. So big day in Navan. cabin. Book your tickets online or pay at the gate. I have a bundle again to give away. Admission for two to Super Saturday at Navan. A race card, food voucher redeemable in the Kilberry restaurant, a €5 tote bet and a drinks voucher as well. Lovely afternoon. You'll enjoy with a friend there. All you have to do is have a listen to this famous racing commentator and give me the name.
Racing into the closing stages, plan of attack with FitzHenry coming on the near side, and it's last year's third. Is he going to get his big break in the Penny Par? Here it's Roaring Bull! Roaring Bull has got up in the Penny Par! Roaring Bull has clenched it from FitzHenry, plan of attack, and then Poker Party and Shift is over.
Yes, who is that famous Irish racing commentator? What's his name? Answers to 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text, and we'll pick a winner before the end of the show. Now, we're staying on the sporting theme now, and we had a Kieran's opening the show with us, John, and we have another Kieran's with us now, and you'll know him when I tell you who he is. Darius Kieran's former Dundalk and Drogheda manager, now in charge of Glebe North and Balbriggan, and his assistant Peter Smith are with me on the show, because you see, it's history on this coming weekend about to be made, because Glebe North are in the FAI Intermediate Cup Final for the first time. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for joining me. And congratulations to you. Congratulations, Darius, on guiding this team to the final. Now, I have to tell listeners, in case they don't understand, this is one of the most prestigious competitions in junior football.
Yeah, it would be probably the biggest tournament outside of Professional Football League, yes. Ireland teams. So you've the FAI Senior Cup, the FAI Intermediate Cup is amateur, and then you've the FAI Junior Cup is... There wouldn't be much between junior and intermediate, but yeah. The intermediate is a higher level. So it starts off with a lot of teams, so... thanks be to God, we're in the final.
I looked at the draw, Peter, and I'll tell you, a lot of teams, my God, they're from all over Ireland. It's a huge start. And when you look at your record in getting to the final, you got a bye in the first round. So you didn't have a match then, Peter, to play, no?
No, we were happy with that, because we haven't got a bye in the last couple of years. We've had some tough opening games. We've really played well in the first few rounds. We didn't concede a goal, in fact, until the semi-final.
I'm just looking at your scores in the round two. When you got into round two, you beat St Kevin's away 3-0. The next round, Greystones United home 3-0. Round four, Maynooth University Town away 2-0. In the quarter-final, 3-0 away to College Corinthians, and then in the semi-final, a big 2-1 win over Wayside Celtic. You have a tight defence and you can find the net as well, Peter.
Well, yeah, we had some particularly tough away games there. And to keep clean sheets and just to kind of put in the performances that we did from more or less the first minute was very, very pleasing, I have to say. Mm. It really was.
Tell us about you and Glebe North. How long are you there as manager? How did you become manager of Glebe?
About 3 years ago, they contacted me, and I would have known Liam Kelly was there for years. I'd done my A licence with Liam, and I knew Glebe was a good club, good setup. They were in Senior One, so I contacted. It was probably something I wanted to give a go. Probably League of Ireland, it consumes so much of your time. So does Leinster Senior League, but it's just that bit probably easier, you know, when you've young kids playing soccer in Gaelic and have to be chauffeured all over the place. It was just, it's a good level of football, very well ran, and it was just something I wanted to do. So we went out, we got promoted the first year. Last year in the senior division, we were actually second in March. We beat St Mochta's 6-2 in March to go second. And 8 weeks later, they won the league and we were relegated. On the last
Darius.
Day of the season. Yeah, we've got a few injuries and we kind of had nothing to play for. It was the bottom teams all started winning. It's a very, very tough league, the senior division. You know, like you see St Mochta's beat Dundalk 2-0 in the Leinster Senior Cup.
Yes.
Maynooth have beat Longford. So, you know, the standard is quite good, and there's no easy games in it.
You're in the second tier at the moment, right? And I know you'd love to go back up. I just looked at the league table. You have so many games less played than the rest of them. You sit fifth at the moment. You could well get back into the promotion race.
We could, and that's down to our run in the cup, firstly. And then secondly, just the weather. As you know, like it's rained in Ireland every day for the last 18 months. We had a lot of games called off.
You'd be playing in wellies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Football boots.
So, once we get Sunday out of the way, we will be playing catch-up. Now, unfortunately, we're probably going to have to play 2-3 games a week to catch up, which it brings its own problems, but we can most certainly get promoted and still have an outside chance of actually winning the league.
Tell us about the team. Tell us about Glebe Nort, your team. You know, age profile, type of player, you know. Well, describe them for us.
We've a squad of about 23 or 4. We've a few young players that would have come through Glebe Nort. Have kind of come into our squad this year. Some very good lads from Balbriggan. Noel Barrett. Noel Podge Barrett is the captain. He's at Glebe probably all his life, I'd say.
Yes.
You know, he's a fabulous player. He's 38, he's still well able to do it. Killian Brennan's playing with us. So they're two of the older statesmen.
You have an ace there in Killian, haven't you? Yeah.
Ace up our sleeve.
Yeah.
Killian
yeah.
plays centre half, so we limit his running. you know, so he's 40 now, Killian, so but he's still got the class. Then we've been 4, 5, 6 in around 29, 30. Then you go down, we've 2 or 3, 23, 24. And we signed actually Craig Moore and Oisin Coleman there at Christmas from Dundalk under 19s, and they've been two big additions to us.
Yeah, you have a nice mix. You have real experience.
Well, it goes all the way down to, I think, our youngest lad now is 16. We have a couple of 17, 18 years, which is great for them to get the experience of senior football, you know.
The final's on a patch you guys know well, United Park on Sunday. What do you know about Ringmahon Rangers? When you mentioned the name, even they're a side that have plied their trade at the top level, at this level of football, for years in the south of the country.
Yeah, look, they're a good side. They've been the three players in the regional, in the Munster squad that won the regional cup recently. They represent Ireland. They've Tony Whitehead played with Limerick. Michael Reeves has been around League of Ireland, very talented player. Jack Cairns up front. They're a good side and they try and play, in fairness to them, you know, they're not direct. They try and play. They play out from the back and through the towards. They'll be favourites. You know, they've been in the semi-final, I think, quarter-final last year, the year before. They'll be favourites, but listen, we've been underdogs in most of the games we've played, so the boys will be ready. And
have you had them watched? Do you know what they're about?
yeah, we've watched them. We've watched them, and we've done plenty of analysis on them, Jerry.
will United Park be an assist to yourselves in terms of, you know, the support that's going to travel from Balbriggan, you're going to get from the northeast, the Drogheda area?
I think
as well.
It is an advantage. Yeah, like the last few, to my knowledge, cup finals have been down in Cork. So it's just kind of, am I right?
Yeah, it's in Cork 2 years ago, Sligo last year. So we've just been lucky.
So it is. There's no doubt we've had a bit of luck here, all right, Joe. But and it should be an advantage to us. But at the end of the day, we still got to turn up. That's the most important thing, is turning up.
What time is the match out on Sunday?
2:30.
In United Park. You're obviously going to have a huge support from Glebe.
Yeah, look, Glebe, there'll be plenty from Balbriggan. We've been fortunate that it was always going to be in the Leinster area, and if Wayside had beat us in the semi-final, it would have been down in Bray. We won, so it's Drogheda United. Look, we've 7-8 players from Drogheda. A lot of lads would have played. We've 2 from the Dock, Drogheda, the Leek, so the whole North East, Balbriggan, you know, is covered, so hopefully we can get plenty of support out, and it will be an advantage, there's no doubt.
The tight pitch. Come on, Darius, you know all about fielding teams on the tight pitch there.
They play and we play, so, you know, they try and play, in fairness to them.
So the surface would be a big thing for us.
So a good surface. You've been playing all winter and pitches have been, you know, the pitches have been really hard done by this year.
Yes.
I've never seen them so bad.
Yeah.
So Mike Kavanagh will have the pitch in A1 condition.
He's great. There's a draw to play Sligo on Friday night, but he'll have it in tip-top shape for you on Sunday. In terms of your preparation for this, Peter, what's the modus operandi? How many times do you train a week? Are you doing anything different now on the run into this final?
We train twice a week, Mondays, Wednesdays. Are we doing anything different? Maybe just a little bit more analysis, but like, we don't really want to flog it to death either. At the end of the day, we want to try and keep the lads' feet on the ground. And as I said to you earlier on, for me, the most important thing on Sunday is that everybody turns up. And has, you know, these occasions don't come around very often, and you cannot walk off that pitch at the end of the game with any regrets.
Is it decided Sunday? Is there potential for a replay? Has it to go to extra time and penalties?
Extra time and penalties.
It's going to be finished on Sunday.
Yeah, look. Yeah.
Penalty shootout. How is your heart for penalty shootouts?
Look, you don't worry about
it. You deal with them.
You've got to prepare for every eventuality. But look, you can. At the end of the day, we've kind of kept it low key. In fairness, we don't want to build it up too much with the lads. We've plenty of league games, but they'll be ready to go come Sunday.
How will this fit in your wonderful CV, Darius Kearns, of all you've achieved in your football life? If you were to win this FAI Intermediate Cup, what would it mean to you?
It would mean everything to me. My brother Roy is playing with us as well, so we've had a tough year as a family, so it would be great. But look, sometimes there's no fairy tale ending, but please God, on Sunday there is.
I remember Jim McLaughlin saying that to me the day Drogheda won the cup. I was leaving the press area with him to go up and do commentary for the, you know, with the last one to leave in. And I said, there is, in my innocence, I said, surely it's Drogheda's day. And Jim said to me just like that, no, don't work like that. Don't work like that, Jerry.
Not in football.
He said, with Doolan at the helm, I'm confident. Anyway, but look, it's been an exciting time for everybody in the club. And like, we have to mention the people in Glebe, because that club has been a mainstay in the Balbriggan community for years and years, hasn't it?
Like, they're fantastic. Junior Riley, Ben Foley, Pat Campbell, just all the committee, they're brilliant and they love the football. There's always been a big connection between Drogheda and Glebe. Lads have always gone up to play. And anyone that came back, Barry Kelly's actually on a coaching staff as well, Danny Coyle, and like, the boys played Leinster Senior League, Barry played with Glebe for years. Anyone that plays with Glebe, you know, you're always well looked after. They're great people, and please God, we can win the cup for them. I think they're 76 to 75 years last year, 76 years on the go.
And never won it.
Never got to the final or something.
Come on, if there's a man up there at all, it's got to be Glebe's time on Sunday. What was Desi's name that came to play for Drogheda? Desi, I can't think of his second name. He played for Drogheda. He had long black hair. I remember he played years ago. He came from Glebe. He was a very, very good player. I'll think of it. Somebody will remind me who Desi was from Glebe that played for Drogheda United, if you could. 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. Boys, I really hope that you do it on Sunday and that you win the cup and bring it back to Glebe, and that there's big celebrations on Sunday evening. Have a great game, do your very best, and what will be will be. But for today, thank you so much for dropping into us. Darius Kearns, manager and assistant Peter Smith of Glebe North, good luck.
Thanks
very much,
Jerry.
Every time, Britney Spears on Your Late Lunch this Wednesday afternoon. Lots of commentary following John Kieran's appearance on the show, talking about his hometown Drogheda. Paddy Mead's been on to us. Thanks, Paddy. John is so right on many things, but not everything. Well, sure, we're all not right on everything, that's for sure, Paddy. But Mead do support Drogheda getting city status, says Paddy. I'm the only councillor who represents Drogheda in the Regional Council Authority, where we got Drogheda upgraded to a regional growth town. I wish Loud councillors from Drogheda had more interest in this, but I proudly wear the Drogheda jersey at these meetings. And Paddy goes on to make more valid points there about the work Mead does on the south side of Drogheda as well. And I'm grateful to you, Paddy, for getting in touch with us on the show. And he says, I did propose and got the orbital route into the Mead Council Development Plan. That's the orbital route that John was talking about right round Drogheda. Just some thoughts and welcome thoughts indeed, Paddy. Thanks for getting in touch with us on the show. There are others looking for John to run. He'd get elected, I think, Louise.
I think
there's certainly, there's no doubt there's a quota there for sure.
I think it'd take a lot to get him elected. He wouldn't. As he said himself, journalists should stay apart from politicians.
Good man, John. When Drogheda is sorted, will you come out to Deleek and sort out Deleek, says Mary in Deleek, in the name of God. So there's Deleek. We've heard about Navan as well. We're not ruling anybody out. If you feel your area is neglected, do get in touch with us. 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. Somebody else saying there about the Ballsgrove area and Drogheda, the Pats and everything. I'm worried about the mam up there as well. And there's lots of comments besides. We love hearing from you on Late Lunch. What was it to say, Louis? I don't know what I was going to say. Oh, did you see the full moon last night? You didn't see the big moon in the sky last night, did you?
No.
Well, you know what I did last night? I took a Vigeri. Do you know, did you ever take a Vigeri? Is it a Vigeri or a Vigeri?
I don't know. I'd say it's a Vigeri.
A Vigeri. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, Desi, Darius got it before he went. Desi Quinlan was the Glebe North player from Balbriggan who came to play with Drogheda. He was a lovely player. Jim Dooley, Mick Tono was in touch. Hi, Jim. Hi, Mick. Thanks for getting in touch as well on the show. We just got it after we went off air. You didn't see that big, big, huge golden moon in the sky?
Nope.
A full moon. Absolutely beautiful. I was watching Arsenal, Louise, last night.
Right.
They were playing Chelsea.
Right.
And at half time, they led 1-0. They should have been further ahead. They won 5-0 in the end, by the way. They were terrific in the second half. Chelsea were simply awful. And at half time, guess what I did? I picked up the phone and ordered a curry. Got a takeaway in the halftime in the game. Something I'd never do. You know what I mean?
Full moon.
At that time, and it must have been the moon drew me towards the local, and I just enjoyed.
As long as you didn't turn into a werewolf.
No, not at all. Not yet.
That was where you were going. Hell, not the moon.
No, the moon. I just was watching. I took photographs of it in the sky. I'm sure many people watched it, and I saw cars pulled in taking pictures of it as well. It was spectacular in the eastern sky as it rose. But I just said I had that little curry at the interlude to celebrate an Arsenal win. They still won't win the league, by the way. No, they still won't.
And what'd you get?
Huh?
What did you get? Like, just was it a green curry, red curry, chicken curry, beef curry, long curry?
Actually, you know what I got? I got a chicken dish in Vietnamese sauce. It was lovely.
Oh, that sounds really nice.
It was gorgeous with fried rice. Me talking about curry. That's what I got. That's what I actually got. That's the honest truth of what I got. It was lovely. And what about last night? Meath under 20s? And Louth under 20s, both winning, and are now in the Leinster under 20 final next Monday.
Woohoo!
Congratulations to both sides. Brilliant. And Louth beat the Dubs. Oh,
even better.
Loud beat the Dubs, which is great. But anyway, it's a Loud Mead final next week, and that is to be looked forward to. You were pretty animated with our racing commentator.
Yeah, I like him.
Do you like him?
He's my favourite so far of the week.
Is he?
Yeah, he's very passionate, isn't he?
Do you want to give him another
Yeah,
little spin?
Let's go give him a spin.
Let's have a listen. This
racing into the closing stages. Plan of attack with Fitzhenry coming on the near side. And it's last year's third. Is he going to get his big break in the penny par? Here it's Roaring Bull! Roaring Bull has got up in the penny par! Roaring Bull has clenched it from Fitzhenry. Plan of attack. And then Poker Party and shifted.
I thought his heart was going to burst.
I think it's great.
That is our racing commentator today. If you know who that is, 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. And you'll be going to Navan Races with a friend this Saturday if you can get that name.
It'd be great rushing to the top of the queue, wouldn't he? Just hear him.
Did you hear the horse? It was a Roaring Bull, I think he was saying there.
Yeah.
And he was roaring like a bull, the commentator himself there. But anyway, guess what, Louise? They're digging up the road again.
The same part.
The same place.
I don't believe you.
Opposite our house. No, it's on the footpath this time. But do you know what? I've come to a conclusion. On Ballymakenny Road, junction of Matson Lodge, I'm claiming the rights. There has to be an oil well, Louise.
There has to be.
There has to be an oil well because they just come back. I think they're desperate to find just the sink and the sunk hole to get to the oil. There has to be an oil well. They're there again. And when I heard Bull, isn't it Mr. Bull?
Mr. Bull, Peppa Pig.
Ava reminded me of that. Yes, she did.
Or else there could be like, do you remember years ago? Maybe you don't. Maybe years ago, there used to be a cartoon on the telly called Jamie and the Magic Torch. And he used to jump down this spinning tunnel.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that and they used to bring him to magical places. I think that could be underneath that.
Do you think so?
Mm.
Well, there's something.
Do they ever come back out? You know, when there's four of them at the start.
Yeah.
Is there four of them at the end or is there three?
I can't be sure of that because I never see. I just see the cones left and the potholes not filled in and the tyres being burst when it's on the road.
Mm.
And when it's on the footpath, people tripping up on it and lodging claims against the council when they don't repair it properly. You know the usual stuff that happens in Ireland. Happens all over the place.
I just wonder what's just under that little patch.
I do not know, but I reckon there's oil. I reckon there's oil and I'm claiming rights now because my property runs near to that road there and I'm sure I have rights somehow. But anyway, they're digging up the road. Again, so they are on Ballymakenny.
What saw us that? Four times? Five times?
You're mad. You better go into the double digit figures.
No,
is
it really?
They just never stop.
I think we'll ask. Will we ask the council what exactly are they doing at that patch?
I think they're doing it to annoy me. So as I come on here every day and give a shite about it or something like that. I think it's something like that anyway. I'm not too sure. Anyway, after our little break now, folks, it's a lovely, lovely story. Do you ever watch The Repair Shop, Louise, on BBC? Do you ever watch it?
No, but I will be tonight.
You will be tonight. And I'd say a lot of people will be when they listen to Late Lunch in a few moments' time because we have a great local story that's going to be featured on The Repair Shop on BBC One this very evening. The Repair Shop. It's a wonderful wonderful TV show on BBC. I love it myself, and I catch it from time to time as much as I can. I even actually have some of them recorded. I must look back at them as well. But anyway, new series started at the beginning of April, and tonight a very local story in the Northeast is featured. I'm delighted to welcome her back to the show. Dervla Lennon, thank you for joining me today on Late Lunch.
Thank you so much for having us, Jerry.
Not at all. We've been trying your mam there, but we just can't get her. But look, you can tell us the story anyway. You're on the show tonight. Yourself and your mam went over. Tell us the whole background to this, please.
Yeah, so on the BBC repair shop, they fix old things that were sort of damaged or wear and tear throughout the years. And we just happened to have an Irish dancing costume. Anybody, any of your listeners who are familiar with Mona Roddy, that's my mam. And she had a collar and cuffs, a hand crocheted collar and cuffs that she had on her first little costume when she was six. It would be probably rude of me to say how long ago that was, but it was quite some time ago. And the collar and cuffs had then been transferred to a little dress that I had when I first started dancing. And that is also not today or yesterday. So then the costume would have been worn by me and by tens, if not a hundred, of little girls down through the years who were beginning and starting out. And so it was quite heavily used. And then my own daughter wore it when she was little. And we sort of retired it then from use because the collar and cuffs had become incredibly fragile and really, as we would say, flittered. So they were kind of destroyed, but when the repair shop got in touch, we thought it was a perfect opportunity to have them repaired. And it's really a very special story because it wasn't one that we had expected to tell, but somehow we managed to repair, well, they managed to repair the collar and cuffs, which are just gorgeous and are back to sort of their original glory. After, I suppose I'll say, maybe 70-odd years. So,
marvellous. So, yeah, it's a great story.
It was just lovely.
It really is. Now, we have to mention the original maker of the dress, famous dressmaker, seamstress from Drogheda.
That's right. So my little dress was made when my sister Kira and I started dancing. We were very, very small, and almost as a joke, my mum had her very, very dear friend, Frankie Collins, make two small costumes for us. Now, I was only two at the time, so I wasn't doing a whole pile of dancing, and my sister was three. We wore them probably for a couple of years when we actually were dancing properly, but Frankie Collins made two little dresses matching for Kira and I when we were very small, and Frankie was a very dear friend of my mam's. She would have made any, I'm sure lots of your listeners had dancing costumes made by Frankie, maybe wedding dresses made by Frankie. She made all kinds for people in Drogheda, and she made our dancing school costumes for years. So the dress itself was very, very special. And unfortunately, Frankie passed away in the very early days of the COVID pandemic. So unfortunately, she's not around to see this program tonight, but we are hoping her family will tune in.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Very special.
Yeah. And she was a brilliant woman. I know this. She had hands to create or make anything. And your mam knows that. And you know that as well. And you're right.
For sure.
She made for people across the Northeast and beyond. She made, and she lived on Duleek Street in Drogheda there. And her house was an open house for people to come. And of course, your mother's friendship with her was so strong and going back so many years as well. Her family will be delighted. I know they will. And many people many people who knew her will be tuned in to the repair shop tonight on BBC at 8 o'clock. Now, without preempting what we're going to see this evening, I take it yourself and your mam Mona were more than thrilled with the outcome.
Absolutely. Do you know what? It really is the loveliest programme. It's one that I had been watching previously with my daughter, and there really aren't very many shows that you can watch with the whole family. You know, the kids programs the adults don't like, and the adults programs the kids don't like, but this is definitely a show that you can watch, you know, with young people and old people, and everybody gets something out of it. But so when the opportunity arose to go on it, it was one where I jumped because I thought I actually really liked that show. But the loveliest part was going to have a day out with my mum, and then when we went to collect the item, my dad came too. So we kind of had some lovely family time in the process, and it was just kind of a very special journey, even sort of opening up the memories and talking about the dress and the collar and cuffs and everything. So it was really a whole very special experience, I think, you know.
And when did you go over? When did it happen?
It was kind of over a course of a period of time, because you have to allow time for the experts to do the job and, I suppose, assess the damage and then get started on working on it and everything. So it happened over the course of about 3 or 4 months in the autumn of last year.
And that's it was all done and it screens. Now, is Mona with you, beside you there in the room?
She is.
Oh, jeepers, we were trying to get her, there. Will you put me over to her, please? Thank you.
Hi, Jerry.
Ah, Mona, how are you? We were trying you on your own number there earlier on, but I'm delighted.
I don't know why.
No bother. We have
you here with
us. You're grand. I only realised you were sitting there. Mea culpa. Anyway, lovely to talk to you. Thanks for coming on with Dervla on the show with us today. Come back to Frankie Collins and your relationship with her.
Oh, my goodness. I really don't know where to start. I was teaching in Drogheda, and I also worked for Unislim in Drogheda. So I used to make a visit to Frankie every Monday. And she just was a very, very dear friend. And she made so many things for my family, apart from dancing costumes, wedding dresses, bridesmaid dresses. My mother, God be good to her, and my aunt all had stuff made by Frankie. She was just a wonderful lady. And it was just so very, very sad to think that she passed away so quickly during COVID.
Yeah.
You know, she was one of the first people, Jerry, to pass away. And, you know, her family are lovely. And I don't see as much of them now as I should, or I would like to, but they're still very much in my thoughts. But Frankie and her husband, Michael, were two of the loveliest people that you could meet.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And isn't it wonderful? I think Terry, her son, Yvonne, Mary and the family as well, they'll all be tuned in this evening for sure. But isn't it wonderful to think that here is something she created, been giving a new lease of life, you know, isn't it?
Absolutely,
marvellous.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we're kind of preserving it now.
Yes.
It did do the rounds. It certainly did do the rounds. You know, I did get them made for the two girls, and then I lent them to everybody who was big enough, you know, when they were little beginners, baby beginners. And then, of course, Dervla's own, well, firstly, my own granddaughter, my eldest granddaughter, Katie Lennon, wore it. Then my Leithan and Evine, Kira's daughter Evine, and Dervla's daughter Leithan, they took a turn out of it. So they all wore it as well. But that was after at least maybe 40 or 50 children in the class wore it at some stage or another. Mm. I really had to kind of rein it in at one stage because it was, you know, they were going missing on me.
Yes.
But, they're very special. That's just all I can say. And the wee size of them, you wouldn't believe. It's like, it would fit in your pocket, you know. It's so tiny. It really is tiny.
When you compare the costumes of today with back then, you know, is there any comparison?
There is no comparison, which is sad because, you know, the actual dresses today are totally, there's very, very little Celtic or any tradition with them.
Mm.
They're big into bling and bling and more bling. And it's sad, really. But that's, as a teacher of 54 years, I suppose, I that's my opinion.
I know.
You know, younger teachers are, this is what they're into, but it definitely, the little dresses that we had are a far cry from what they're wearing today.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. You know, your views are valued, Mona, may I say, by many as well who are involved. What about the dancing scene altogether? Have you, sure you're always winning. Have you been winning again lately?
Well, we did actually.
Yeah.
We went to the World there in Glasgow, and it was a very tough 8 days. And We won three of the Cayley Championships and second in another one. And Oisín, my grandson, was fourth in his championship. And we had another little lad from Silverbridge who was third. And Brilliant. We had my niece was eighth in hers and another little girl ninth.
Brilliant.
And
yeah.
All my grandchildren actually have world medals now.
Isn't that great? The set is First complete. Place. What about, you yeah. know, there are so many other forms of dance and children are running and playing sports and everything today. Are you still getting the numbers through to the Irish dance schools?
It's okay with us, yeah.
Yeah, good.
People are still interested in the culture, you know,
yeah.
and the culture is very big in our lives. Like, I would absolutely love like just not the dancing, but the music. I'm very, very interested in the music, and the singing, and all that, and of course the language, all that goes with it. So, like, I would still be very passionate about all of that.
Yes.
And you know that. But yeah, you're right. People do have a big choice now of places to bring their children and things to do, but they are still dancing. And, you know, I mean, the numbers are there.
Yeah.
They may not be in every school, but yes. they are there.
And you're getting let me say, children from other countries whose families have come to live and work here. I see children yes. from other cultures and that coming into the Irish dancing
absolutely,
scene.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed we have. Yeah.
Which is great
yeah,
to see.
Absolutely. Mm. Wonderful to see it. They're from... really from all over the world now.
Yeah.
But it's huge. It's huge, Gerry, all over the world. You know, I judged in Prague before Christmas, in The Hague in January, and I've just come back from Milan where I did great exams there. So it's huge all over the world.
Mona, you're a legend, honestly, when it comes to the Irish dance at home and abroad and representing us and Derval as well there. You're great. And I'm looking forward. You're on the BBC tonight. Oh, my God, on the repair shop.
I hope you're not disappointed.
No, we won't be. Are you mad? Not at all. We'll all be tuned in to see this evening what happens. We'll be thoroughly delighted to see you there and representing the North East yet again on a major series on British television. Look, you're great to come on today to chat to us about it. Good luck to you with everything you do.
Thank you.
Continued success.
Thank you,
to yourself and Dervla. Thank you both for joining me on the show today.
Thank you very much.
Not
lovely to talk to you.
You too.
Bye now.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Mona Roddy and Dervla Lennon, our daughter there. Irish dance teachers in Dundalk who are on the repair shop tonight on BBC One, 8 o'clock. Don't miss that. Anna McKenna was on to us. Hi, Anna. Thanks for getting in touch with us on the show. A woman who's been behind the Drogheda City status for years and years. And she was listening in earlier on to John Kearns. And she says to me, John is only saying what we've been saying for years. But I do believe, Gerry, that Dublin and central government are at last listening to us now. And I would be very hopeful. Thanks indeed for that, Anna. Lovely to hear from you this afternoon. You're at Late Lunch on LMFM Radio. Short break. Back in a moment. Well, you hung them by the legs today, I believe. Is that right?
I did. I did. Before I left, I put them all on the washing line by the legs. So they'll probably all have vertigo by the time I get home.
No, well, we have a convert, folks. We have a convert today. I brought in the little fat peg to show you.
You did? Yeah.
They're fine peg, aren't they?
They are. It looks very... expensive posh pegs.
I think they're IKEA pegs.
Oh, they're not too posh.
Soft
pegs.
Grip IKEA pegs, I think they are. But best in the business, I'm told, by the main woman herself. I wouldn't be too sure. But she says they're absolutely brilliant, the little fat pegs.
And does she bring the pegs in with her along with the washing?
Not at all. She's they're all on the line. They're all left out on the line. And they work
these weather
ones.
Away.
Yeah, they seem to. You know what I mean? They're a good job. This following on, we were talking about the hanging out the clothes and the lines and the pegs and everything yesterday on the show. Anyway, somebody wanted to see a picture of them. I must post it up, the picture of me, Peg, and you can have a look at it then.
I have a bit of a job when I go home, though.
Why?
I shrunk one of my child's jumpers.
No.
Mm.
Is it a jumper they love and value?
Yeah, it's an expensive jumper.
Ooh, painful.
And I put it in at the right, you know, very, very delicate wash, but apparently I was looking it up, and seemingly if I now go home and put it in a sink and add two capfuls of either washing conditioner or else conditioner for your hair, and then rinse it out and stretch it, I might be able to save it.
Do you ever listen to somebody clutching at straws?
Yeah.
Mm. That's what I'm doing now and everybody in Late Lunch Land. When I tell you what happened, folks, honestly, she put it in at the wrong temperature.
No,
she
put it in
for
30.
Too long.
No, hand wash.
She got onto her phone and she forgot all about it and she went back in a panic.
No, I put it on a hand wash and took it out and put it straight on the line.
All right, I believe you. Well, I don't know what happened. There's no explanation and I'm trying to be logical.
No, it's seemingly, it is a brand that is made full of just pure cotton.
Okay.
And can shrink.
Well, wish you luck. I wish you luck. You'll have to deal with that yourself when you go home. Louise, this is something I'd mentioned to you on Monday and I just didn't get a chance to say it until today. But I don't know whether people saw this in I saw it in the Times, I think it was on Saturday. Did you see the case of the confirmation that went to court?
You did mention this.
Didn't I mention it to you? Folks, awful. I don't know whether you read this or know about it, but a couple couldn't agree on the afters of their child's confirmation, right? You know, you go for something to eat, which is the tradition day or whatever. A man and a woman separated, couldn't agree on, so they went to court, a full court hearing about the confirmation afterwards meal.
That's crazy.
And the judge had to rule on this. The judge had to rule to say that the child would have the main meal with the dad and his people. And have the dessert and teas and coffees and the nice stuff afterwards with the mum in the same hotel in different rooms.
Do you know what they should have done? They're just crazy. The amount of money that they spent on the court case and sisters in the first place, they should have just had a takeaway in the court.
Yeah. And guess what the judge said? It gets worse. It gets worse. When the verdict was delivered, I think it was the lady in the case, now I stand to be corrected, this one or other party asked the judge for costs, and guess what the judge said? Get out of my sight.
Dead right.
That's what the judge said. Get out of my sight.
Was the child ever asked in this?
Oh, I would
doubt
it.
They wanted.
I would doubt it. You know what I mean? I would doubt. But imagine we're at the stage where people cannot agree on a big day for the child to be amicable and work through it and agree to have to go before a court of law in this country to decide about a confirmation. Oh, my God almighty. Awesome. What have we come to? I honestly despair. When I read it, I thought to myself, is this April the 1st? No, it wasn't. It's a true story. It's
just
been in
dessert.
Court. Shocking, shocking, shocking. Still to come on Late Lunch this afternoon, walking football in Slane. What's it all about? More from my artist of the week, Amy Winehouse. But he's number one in America, only the fourth Irish artist ever to make it number one. Number one in Britain, number one in America. He has been away for a while from the charts, but he's the big hit at the moment. It's Hozier and his new one, Too Sweet. You can't be said I'm an early bird. It's 10 o'clock before I say a word. Baby, I can never tell. How do you sleep so well? You keep telling me to live right, to go to bed before the daylight. But then you wake up for the sunlight. Yes, the big flat racing meeting at Navan is this Saturday, the 27th. They have the SBK Vintage Crop Stakes and six other feature flat races to kick off the flat campaign at the Navan track. I want to send somebody out there today and a friend along. You're going free gratis. You'll get a race card, food voucher for the Kilberry restaurant, €5 tote bet, and a drinks voucher too. Let's have a listen to this famous Irish voice of racing.
Racing into the closing stages, Plan of Attack with Fitzhenry coming on the near side, and it's last year's third. Is he going to get his big break in the Penny Par? Here it's Roaring Bull! Roaring Bull has got up in the Penny Par! Roaring Bull has clinched it from Fitzhenry, Plan of Attack, and then Poker Party and Shifted.
Yes, that is the voice of the one and only Gerry Hannan. Yes, it's Gerry Hannan this afternoon on Late Lunch, and winning our bundle to Navan on Saturday this afternoon on Late Lunch is Derek Cromwell. Well done to you, Derek. We'll be in touch to make the arrangements. I have another one to give away tomorrow and again on Friday, so if you haven't won so far, you're still in with a chance of going along to Navan on Saturday. Now, we'll do this as usual on Late Lunch.
The Late Lunch Artist of the Week.
Artist of the Week.
Yes, and I selected it this week because the movie Back to Black is out there in cinemas at the moment, and there's a lot happening round her short life. Yes, it's Amy Winehouse this week. I mentioned yesterday her debut album called Frank, which she released in 2003 and was a fantastic start for her. But it would be three more years before her second, and believe it or not, final studio album appeared. It's called Back to Black. Oh my God, if you haven't got it in your record collection, I don't know what to say. I think I bought it twice. It came out in October 2006. And to say that it's just simply brilliant, it really is. And no surprise, it became the best-selling album in the UK in the following year, 2007. It was nominated subsequently for 5 Grammy Awards, and it won an incredible 4 from 5 for Record of the Year, Song of the Year, Best Pop Vocal Performance, and Best Pop Vocal Album of the Year. It just swept the boards. However, it wasn't all glory for Amy. As she toured to promote the album, there was mayhem by times as she took to the stage, plied with alcohol, and perhaps more besides. Several gigs ended prematurely and in chaos. Ultimately, she had to take a break in an attempt to sort out her life. I'll continue her story tomorrow. But for today, my Amy Winehouse song is from Back to Black, that wonderful album. It was the final single she released in her short lifetime. Yes, it's the haunting and remorseful Love is a Losing Game. Yes, Amy Winehouse, my Artist of the Week, and that remorseful, lonesome song, yes. And we'll have more about Amy tomorrow on the show round about this time. Now, we were talking about football this afternoon, and very high-level football, because Glebe North are in the FAI Intermediate Cup Final. Anyway, we have a different take on football next. Stay with us to find out more. I have to say, it's a new one on me. Walking football, I often give out about the teams I follow and yards about them, that they're walking around the place and not doing much. But seriously, walking football began in the UK in 2011. And here in the Northeast, yes, it's taken hold. And joining me on the line from Ross and Rovers, he is the head of the underage department there, is Andy McGinnity. Afternoon, Andy.
Afternoon, Jerry. How are you?
I'm really good. Like 2011 in the UK, and honestly, I have put my hands up. I never heard of it until now. Tell our listeners, what is walking football?
It's basically it's kind of based around the kind of 5-a-side, 6-a-side part of the game, but it's literally done at walking pace. It's generally aimed at older people in their 50s and above. Like, we've got people in their 50s, we've also people in their 60s and 70s playing it at the moment. And it's just a slower paced game. There's no running allowed. One foot always has to be on the ground. And that's basically the way the game is. It's just a slower paced game to allow older people to continue playing.
It's a great idea, I have to say. Now, tell us about Ross and Rovers. You've teamed up with Slane and District Men's Shed and the Drogheda Men's Shed as well for this. When did you start and how did it take hold?
We tried to get it off the ground in 2019 initially, and there just wasn't the interest there. I suppose, like yourself, people hadn't really heard about it, and there'd been a lot of head scratching and things when you do say it to people. But what had happened then this year, John O'Dowd, who's PRO of the Slane Men's Shed, he had seen our advert. He must have been searching for it, and he'd seen our advert from 2019 and got in contact with us. So he had a few members that were interested, and then with that, then I got in contact with a lad called Martin Rice in the Drogheda Men's Shed to see if they were interested, and they were. So I went in, did a wee presentation to them, and it kind of took off from there.
And it is taking off because the numbers are growing all the time. On the first week, what, there was 11 there, and now you're almost up to 20 after only 3 weeks.
Yeah. It's going really well. So it's a 6-week program, and really we're hoping that it's going to continue after that. So it's great to see the numbers building. I mean, we were contacted last week by a man from Navan Menshed, and he's going to be joining as well. So it's starting to grow arms and legs. It's brilliant.
It's terrific. It really is. So you must walk. There's no running allowed. Would you get a yellow card, or would there be VAR involved if somebody runs?
If somebody runs, it's a free kick. So whether you have the ball or whether you're without the ball, for any running whatsoever, it's a free kick to the opposite team. Free kicks are all indirect. You can't score from them. You'd create a little penalty area, which the goalkeeper's not allowed out of. And then the attackers aren't allowed into as well.
Yes. And how many
is... All had to be below head height as well.
Yes. So there are everybody's familiar with the rules and regulations that make this work and keep it at a walking pace. How many a side can play?
It depends on the size of the area. I mean, you could play 5-a-side, 6-a-side, 7-a-side. You could literally... whatever the area you've got set up, you can utilise it, yeah.
And how many minutes in each half of this game?
We literally put it to the men, before each session. We normally start up with a wee warm-up. We might do 10 minutes warming up, and then a half could be 15 or 20 minutes with a little break in between. Mm. And if we've still got time left towards the end of the hour, we'll play on for another. Like, the lads don't want to stop.
Yes.
They've been really, really enjoying it.
And I take it you have ex-footballers involved. Do you have people who've perhaps not played football in the past engaged in this with you?
Yeah, I mean, there was one of the lads that joined us last week. He'd never played football in his life. One of the other lads who's been there every week, Anthony, he played handball all his life, never played football. And there's a couple of players, like Martin I mentioned earlier on, I was laughing and joking, he's like an older Kevin De Bruyne. He just plays in the number 10 role and he's just spraying passes left and right. He's class, he's really, really good.
And somebody wins, like, this is a competitive game even though it's at a walking pace.
Oh, they, I tell you, the lads get very competitive, you know, as soon as they set field in the pitch. Now, the first thing is, it's a laugh and they enjoy it, but that competitive edge is just, it's always there, it's just, it's in us, do you know what I mean? So when we go playing ball, like, they do want to win, but at the end of the day, it is a bit of crack and it's all about a social outlet and things like that, you know, so it's been brilliant.
The FAI have given you support on this?
Yeah, so as a club, Ross, and we're an FAI club, Mark, one-star club, so we would be the kind of club in the area for things like this, you know, any social programmes and things, the FAI would get us on board to do it. So they've given us backing, they gave us bibs and balls and things like that. And we're out to see the lads there in the second week, and they were very, very impressed by how quickly the lads have adapted to the walking pace. Because it doesn't matter how old you are, you still want to kind of break into a stride. And kind of what happens is if you've ever played football yourself, you generally try and make a pass in front of someone. But with the slower pace of the game, you have to play to feet. So the standard's really coming up over the last few weeks. It's been brilliant. But the biggest thing is just to hear the laughter. You know, within the first couple of minutes of the very first session, the laughter was the first thing I commented on. Like, everybody was just having a ball, enjoying themselves.
Mm. Patricia's been on for Blanchardstown. She's listening in. She says at her particular club, it's been going there for the last 2 years and people love it. You know, so
you
it's people do really enjoy this. I'm sure today, do you have to be a member of, we mentioned the men's sheds there, you know, Slane, Drogheda, you mentioned a guy coming from Navan as well. Is that a prerequisite to become involved?
Absolutely not. No, there's been a few people who have just obviously heard about it through word of mouth. They've joined us and they're not members of the sheds. Like, at the moment, it's exclusively men, but that doesn't mean to say it can't be opened up to women as well to play. We want to get this off the ground and we want to keep it going. As I say, it's a 6-week programme, but we want to try and give them, obviously, the head start on it, and let it try and build a bit of momentum, and so that it continues after it. Because as I say, the men have really enjoyed playing. In fact, we were supposed to be joined by one of the lads today, but unfortunately, a member of the men's shed passed away. So there's a funeral on today. We'd like to give condolences to the family and friends of that member who passed away. So that's why John wasn't able to join us today.
No problem. You've described it brilliantly for everybody listening. So do I take it that you have sort of a full cadre for this six-week session and you want to keep it going? If this has rung a bell with somebody or tweaked something with them, how can they get in touch with you, get involved perhaps on the next programme?
If somebody wants to come and play next week, they are more than welcome to come and play next week. We can facilitate it. Because what we can do is we can maybe use smaller games if we need to shorten, in terms of shortening them and playing it one team off sort of thing, you know. So we can do anything like that. But if anybody wants to get in touch about it, they can contact us on the Ross and Rovers football page, which I admin, or they can contact me directly on 087-066-3947.
Okay, so there you are. It's open, even at the moment, with the programme underway, to get involved. Check out the Ross and Rovers. Did you say the Facebook page?
Yeah, Ross and Rovers AFC is the Facebook page.
The details are there if you're interested in finding out more or getting involved. Another string to the bow of the club, because you're great out there. You look after boys, girls, underage, and of course you have your senior teams as well. At the heart of the community, great little football club, Ross and Rovers.
We are a community club, as I said. We do try and do as much as we can in the community, try and give back to the community. We'd be working alongside local schools. We've got kids from 4 years to 13 years with the men's team, the senior women's team as well. And this year is actually our 40th anniversary at the club's foundation. So we've got our dinner dance and the Ard Boyne in Navan on the bank holiday weekend. Right. So we're all looking forward to that. You know, it's a big milestone.
Sure it is. 40 years. Listen, Andy, leave it there today. Thank you for joining me on the show.
Thanks a million, Jerry.
Take care of yourself. Andy McGinnity there, PRO, and he looks after the youth section in Rossen. That's it on Late Lunch this Wednesday afternoon. Have a lovely evening. Eddie Caffrey's on his way with the drive here on LMFM Radio. Stay with us, and we'll be back with your Thursday Late Lunch from 1:30. See you then.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.